This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Number that always gets released is always going to make that number look the best. But I think in general, it's like, okay, I don't enjoy watching this product right now. I'm going to go look for something. Oh, ratings are down. I'm going to hammer that. Because in the end, like, what do we care? Like,
ratings are down on sitcoms. Why? Because Netflix and, you know, streaming services are destroying everything. I think the thing that's, if you care about ratings, at the end of the day, when you look at the chart that comes out like every year and it shows you the top 100 rated television programs every year, like 85 of them are sports.
And it's like 75 of them are NFL.
Yeah. It's like, yes, 75 to 80 of them are the NFL.
Yeah. And then it's like you'll get a couple of college basketball games from the tournament sprinkled in there, some big college football games, but like, yes, it's basically all that. All right, speaking of the college football playoff, we've gotten some reporting from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. Changes, they are coming. Tim and I are going to talk about whether or not we like them, what we do, what we don't like. We'll discuss that on the list. We'll also talk some college basketball coming up during hour number two. Stick around, you're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The winners just keep coming on in Zen Sports VIP Players Club Sweepstakes. We handed out another grand prize winner in January, and now Zen Sports is keeping up the momentum by introducing its new VIP Players Club Courtside Club Sweepstakes for February. This month, one grand prize winner will win two VIP tickets to the Men's Basketball Conference Championship game in Nashville and a $10,000 bonus bet on any tournament game or an alternative $10,000 cash payout. You'll earn entries on every bet you place in February and every dollar you wager. Plus, you'll earn 10 times the entries on all parlay bets. You don't want to miss out. And if you're not the grand prize winner, no sweat. You'll also have a shot to win one of 10 small prizes, which grants you two tickets to any men's regional basketball tournament game and $1,000 bonus bet on the tournament or a $250 cash prize. That's on all new customers who sign up using code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, will receive 500 bonus entries. Head on over to zensports.com/sweepstakes for a full list of rules, and you'll earn a $100 no danger first wager on your first bet. Zen Sports. Betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. $5 minimum wager to qualify for entry. Terms and conditions do apply. Full contest rules at zensports.com/sweepstakes. Let's get into the list. All right, Tim, we've got some reporting from over the weekend. Ross Dellinger has been all over this story really from the very beginning. Over at Yahoo Sports reports that with the SEC and the Big Ten set to meet Wednesday in New Orleans for the second time in 5 months, much of the conversation is stemming around what to do with the future of the college football playoff. I think let's start here. It seems like this is kind of an admission by the SEC and the Big Ten. They're punting on this season. It feels like we're getting the same format that we got last year. Maybe they'll tweak seeding, whatnot, but it seems like the 12-team format is going to be for this season, and it's largely going to mirror what we saw last year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it seems like we're headed that way, yeah.
Okay, so what we're really talking about is the playoffs starting in 2026 and beyond. And the proposal, according to Dellinger, is either a 14 team or 16 team model, which would grant four automatic qualifiers, each to the SEC and to the Big Ten, two each to the ACC and the Big 12, one to the highest ranked group of five champion. It also includes either one or three at-large spots, so that would be based on whether they go 14 or 16. One of those intended for Notre Dame if it finishes ranked inside the top 14, a guarantee specifically designated for the Irish that it is part of the CFP Memorandum of Understanding. So basically laying it out like this. If they pick a 14-team playoff, you have four Big Ten teams, four SEC teams, two Big 12 teams, two ACC teams, one G5 champion, and if Notre Dame is qualified, they're in. If not, that goes to an at-large spot. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes.
Okay, and so the first question is okay, what does this mean for the committee? How are these top four teams determined? Are they determined by the conferences themselves? Are they determined by the top 25 rankings that the committee, I'm sure we're not losing the television product. I'm sure we're still going to get that Tuesday night selection show. But overall, when you hear the idea, what do you think?
I don't like it. And I just leave it to college football to just continue to mess. We have begged for a tournament like we had this year. And I get it. We didn't get epic games. The first round was all blowouts. The SEC is really this soft.
So
you need, I don't want the ACC to get two auto bids. I don't want the Big 12 to get two auto bids. If you earn it, you earn it. And guess what? If it was I'm fine with the expansion to 14, to be honest. Like, that's fine. And if it was 14, the SEC would have got five teams in, as opposed to three. To me, it seems like it's a massive overreaction to 1 year. And we talked about it when the bracket was revealed. This is a very unusual season where Arizona State and Boise State were higher ranked than the ACC champion. And it's fine. It's a blip. And if you want to readjust it, I'm fine with the seeding and readjusting that and tinkering with that. But I hate auto bids. I really do. Because this sport will figure itself out. And guess what? Alabama and Ole Miss, as we shouted from the mountaintops all year long, you only have yourself to blame. And Miami. You all would have been in if you had won a game as a double-digit favorite in November. If Ole Miss beat Florida, if Alabama beat Oklahoma, if Miami beat Syracuse, you all were allowed the mulligan. We already discussed this. And will I still watch it? I'm not going to be one of those dopes. Oh, I will never watch college football again. Of course not. I love the sport too much. It's awesome. It is my favorite sport to watch, favorite sport to talk about. But why do we continue to make it too complicated? If you want to expand it to 14, I'm fine with it. Like, that's cool with me. Make that first weekend even that much better. But I just, 4-4, like, the Big Ten, you don't need it, man. You had four teams in this year.
Yeah, I guess this is where I struggle a little bit. I do think,
who's the second Big 12 team this year?
It's probably would have been BYU, right?
Right. Like, do you want that?
Well, then on top of that, it's like, okay, but BYU wasn't even in the championship game. How are you sorting through all of that?
Right. So, like, and then we've got the whole situation of, you know, championship games. And this is not going to satisfy the SEC. Because then, if the Big 12 or the ACC gets a second team in, now more so the Big 12 than the ACC, but who knows how this, you know, everything evolves. You're going to say, well, that team doesn't deserve to be in. We deserve six teams in. Well, if you didn't agree to these dumb auto bids, you'd probably get more teams in.
So what I do like about it is if this does go through, I think this is going to actually motivate the SEC to go to the 9-game schedule, simply because if you actually look at it, picking the fourth team would have been, if you just went by standings, there was a 6-way tie. And so this would at least motivate them to go to the 9-game schedule. Whatnot. What I've really struggled with squaring this away is I think two things can be true. I think Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Alabama, and honestly, to a lesser degree, A&M, LSU would apply. And I guess you could throw Missouri in because Missouri would have been included. I think it's fair to say they had their chance to play their way in and didn't. I think that's fair. We talked about it ad nauseum. Where I really struggle to square it away is I do think it's a lot more difficult to go to the 12th or 13th SEC team in November and not trip up than it is to go to the bottom of all these other leagues and not trip up. Like yeah, even I think, the even
that's
the,
fair.
The Big Ten has actually had kind of like a good thing develop. I don't know if this is the outlier, like you said, maybe this is just a product of one season, whatnot, but I thought the Big Ten stratified itself a lot cleaner than the SEC did. Like for a while, it was like you got through November, the top four teams in the top four. I think it held up until Michigan beat Ohio State. It's like the top four teams in the Big Ten only lost to themselves, and then nobody else below them was jumping up. And so that is kind of where I struggle, because the SEC has this insane reality where basically everyone is trying to win and spending on a roster to win. Therefore, you're going to have a top to bottom better league than some of these other conferences, but I don't really know how you square. I don't know. Is four bids, does that square it away? I have no idea.
Yeah, and the point you make is fair, right? Going to Oklahoma for a primetime game in November is not like going to Northwestern, right?
Right. Or going to the Swamp, you know what I mean?
Exactly. No, and that's fair. And Miami went up and lost to Syracuse, and that's not a daunting environment by any stretch of the imagination. I think if we go to 14, heck, even if we stayed at 12, I still think it sorts itself out. I really do. And, you know, if you're Ole Miss, like, guess what, man? You lost to teams that you shouldn't have lost to. Like, yeah, I get it. Florida on the road is challenging, but you lost at home to Kentucky.
Yes.
Like, sorry. Like, don't do that. Losing at LSU in overtime did not affect you from making the playoff. Losing a home game to Kentucky did. So I think that's where I have a little bit of a trepidation to this. But also I circle back to, as we alluded to, right? BYU, Iowa State, 17 and 18 in the final ranking. I don't want one of those teams in the playoff. If they didn't deserve to be in there, I don't want them in there.
Well, I think this is kind of the one thing that I might actually like about it, and it is kind of going against the automatic qualifier aspect of it. I don't like putting so much of it in the hands of a committee and deciding, like,
bring back the BCS?
Well, I mean, listen, your boy is on the record as saying the BCS worked. Do I think it was the perfect system to declare a champion? No, but it's like I liked it better than the 14 playoff. I'll tell you that. That's for sure. And then the other problem with the 14 playoff is we started just getting playoff. Like, all that mattered was, okay, who are the six teams that can be in the playoff? At least this year, the system was designed to keep us interested for much longer. And we had way more teams that were still a part of the conversation, still had a chance. Some played their way in, some played their way out, some backdoored their way in. Like, that's just kind of how it works in sports. Like, not everyone that's going to be in a 12 team or maybe is the most deserving. At least if you have the setup where, okay, like in the NFL, either you win your division or you win the wild card, there's a spot reserved for you. Like, at least if you do it like this, you are setting up some, I think, cleaner ground rules, and it opens itself to, I don't know if the committee deserves like all the power that it ended up having. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
because we've seen the committee get stuff wrong. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
or what? college basketball, basically, when Selection Sunday comes about in college basketball, there's no real curveballs. Maybe every once in a while, oh, this team was underseeded. This team was, maybe one team was left out. But they've got a pretty decent system going now where you've got this net ranking, you know, that's public, and you could just go look at it. Right now, you could go look at the net rating for Memphis. It's 49th. They are 5-2 in quad one games, 5-0 in quad two games, 7-3 in quad three games, 4-0 in quad four games. I think you could do a cleaner job of it in trying to point out, look, it's not apples to apples, but let's just use it anyways.
All right.
College basketball versus college football. The SEC, maybe the best college basketball conference in the history of the sport, the way that it is this year. And guess what? Because of that, they're going to reap a lot of benefits. You're going to have, more than likely, four teams as a top two seed in the NCAA tournament. So going to a nine-game conference schedule, there's less games, there's less data, so it's a little tricky. Boise State being undefeated versus 9-3, Alabama or Ole Miss. But I think there's a more of a transparent way we can go about looking at this, where, to your point, we don't have to rely on a committee to determine, you know, if SMU loses by 14 in the ACC championship as opposed to 3 in the ACC championship, do they get in or do they get left out? I know we have auto bids in college basketball. To be honest, I don't like auto bids in college basketball. I think it's kind of silly that the Big West plays a three-month schedule, and then if one team gets hot over a stretch of 3 days, they get in over your conference champion. Now, I know why we do it, because of money and eyeballs, and we want people to go there, but that's why I'll save the rant for, you know, 3 weeks from now. That's why a lot of these conferences are morons. When they go to neutral sites, they don't reward the best team in a one-bid league to rig the field for what they did for 3 months. So I want to go away from auto bids. I don't like auto bids. The only auto bid I want is I do want a group of five team in. I thought that was cool. Probably don't give them a bye like Boise State got this year, but I thought that was fine to get. I like having the group of five representation in there. But outside of that, I think if you move it to 14, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're going to get four teams every single year. Why do we need it to be set in stone? We need four. You're going to get it anyways. You're the two best conferences in the game.
Yeah, and this is kind of where, if we go back to the argument I had in the fall, I thought there was going to be a massive overreaction from the SEC in particular, because the SEC agreed to a system in the 12-team playoff, which essentially put leagues that were not equals, it made them on paper to be equals. Like, I firmly believe, like, you can maybe gripe about SMU, but it's like, in terms of a 12-team playoff, how they selected the teams based on the criteria that they had, I thought they kind of got it right. The problem is the SEC is going to sit there and go, there's not enough SEC coaches on that committee to tell you it's not the same thing to go to Northwestern and win in November than it is to go to Oklahoma and survive, which they didn't either. I don't know how, like, that kind of sorts itself out, but, like, I also think, like, I'm open to this idea, Tim. In this landscape, is the SEC able to keep up at the highest level? I think what has been clear to me is that the SEC can very much cannibalize itself at this level, because there's a lot of schools that can pay $13, $14 million for rosters and keep up. But then they can go 8-4. Can the SEC max out, like when Michigan finds out that, hey, we need a quarterback and Larry Ellison, who doesn't watch football games, but he's got a 39-year-old wife that does watch football games and wants to go get a quarterback? Like, can the SEC keep up with that? Like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, look, I'll use Notre Dame as an example. I thought the 12-team playoff would be very detrimental to Notre Dame. They made it to the championship game this year. They don't have the most expensive roster. I'm not saying they don't have a cheap. I mean, they're not pinching pennies. Like, they spent millions of dollars on Riley Leonard. They're spending money, but not the gobs and gobs of money out there. I think it's roster construction. It's a lot of luck, you know. At the end of the day, the team that flaunted that they had a $20 million roster and Ohio State won the title, I just think SEC teams and other teams were quiet about it. I just don't think they said, hey, we've got a $20 million roster. I think there were other $15 to $20 million rosters out there. So I'm not worried about the SEC keeping up with the Big Ten or Miami from a money standpoint, because you could also look at Miami. They spent all this money. They still lost to Syracuse. They still lost to Georgia Tech because Mario Cristobal still roams that sideline. Like, you know, it's you need to spend the money, obviously, but it's adapting. And the SEC has been the most dominant conference in college football for multiple decades. And, you know, I did a couple radio shows in Big Ten country, and boy, they were trying to yuck it up. Oh, look at the SEC this year. I'm like, dude, it's still the most talent-rich conference in the country, and they'll win another national championship in a matter of time. Let's not get too chesty because the Big Ten has won back-to-back national titles. Oh, by the way, I went on, it was a Penn State kind of more radio station, and, you know, you guys had a more talented team, and your coach decided to bungle that situation in the semifinals.
Well, I think this is kind of another question that I have is, let's say Carson Beck doesn't get hurt in the second half of the SEC championship game. And let's say they go on, they win that game, and then I'm not taking away what Notre Dame accomplished. Notre Dame deserved to be in the game. We agree on that. But I think you can also acknowledge that game is a different game against Georgia if Carson Beck plays.
I think that's totally fair. And even though the funny thing was, the buildup was, Carson Beck stinks, and
yes,
you know, Gunnar Stockton might be better. We're like, we sure about that?
Yeah, no, your boy never bought into that. But
I did.
If Beck's problem was the receivers more, and I there might have been some personality issues. But all right, let's say that Ohio State and Georgia play another classic, and Georgia gets over the top and wins that game. Are we still doing all of this? My guess is yes, because I think Sankey is. I think a lot of the SEC people were very, very upset to the point of, you better do something. And so I think he was in a position of, the people that pay me are making me do something. But like, I do wonder how much of it was just the fact that they really weren't even involved in the Final Four.
I would take a step back.
I mean, I guess Texas was there too.
What if SMU just beats Clemson? Then we've got four SEC teams in, four Big Ten teams in.
Yeah, then the irony is, in that situation, the hand-wringing would be that the Alabama team would have gotten in.
Over Ole Miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or South Carolina or whatever.
Right, or if Ole Miss doesn't lose to Florida. Like, to your point, I think it's more so, and you live in SEC country, I don't. I think it's more so, how dare this committee leave us with just three teams? Well, what if you got four teams? What if SMU just went out in Charlotte and beat Clemson, and then four teams are in from the SEC, four teams are in the Big Ten, and hunky-dory, are we good? Like, are we moving forward, or are we still griping over the seeding, because SMU would have then got a bye, and, you know, the 12 seed would have been Arizona State?
My suspicion is that would kind of turn into civil war, because then the conversation then becomes, because I actually was pretty sympathetic to this. Like, I think if Ole Miss and Alabama would have played last year, I think Ole Miss would have been favored, or I would have picked them to win. I don't know what the line would have come out. I think what you would have seen, though, is this sentiment was growing in the SEC this year, which is, we're fine giving Saban's Alabama the benefit of the doubt. They've earned it. This Alabama team never really passed the eye test, and other than like their first, whatever, 18 minutes against Georgia, like, they never really passed the eye test. And so it would then become civil war, because it's like, really, you let Alabama in, and then Alabama would have gotten beat in whatever game that they played likely, and so you would have wound up with the same thing.
I also think it was like, hey man, the SEC was just kind of down this year. I mean, Texas, by the way, you know, I'm a Notre Dame fan, but Texas played Ohio State better than Notre Dame did. I mean, Texas had the ball to 1 yard line to tie the game.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced. I think the biggest problem was the SEC's best team had to play a ridiculous schedule. Kind of this all comes back to me, the same problem. The same problem I have with the SEC is not how many teams you get in. It's balance the schedules. Georgia played a ridiculous schedule, and they took a couple of losses. Also, their quarterback gets hurt. Texas, largely, basically, their season came down to going up.
Well, Georgia took a couple losses, but they still ended up winning the conference, getting the 2 seed.
Right, but I think that the, I think they took body blows, is what I'm saying. Like, I think the amount of injuries that they had, like, I think they took body blows, whereas you get a team like Texas that basically had to play, what, a 3-game season? They go up to Michigan when Michigan couldn't figure out quarterback. Then they got Georgia at home, and they got curb stomped. And then they had to go and beat A&M at A&M.
Yeah, it was kind of like Michigan 2 years ago, yeah, who basically had a 2-game season, right?
Yeah.
They played Penn State and they played Ohio State to, yep, wrap up the year, and then they beat the crap out of whoever it was in the Big Ten championship. But they won the they won the title. And look, injuries happen, right?
Like a lot of that's football.
I mean, Notre Dame dealt with, you know, people don't bring it up, but they had a reworked offensive line by like the 3rd game of the season.
Yes.
And you have to kind of figure it out. And these seasons are getting longer. Ohio State and Notre Dame each played, what, 16 games? So the seasons are insanely long. You've got to build depth. Like, the weird thing, and I haven't gotten into it all, but, like, I also don't understand. This is getting to another can of worms. Like, are we getting rid of walk-ons? Like,
so
that's happening? Like, I don't understand that at all.
There was also some other news. I saw Steve Berkowitz of USA Today. Someone else is chiming in about the House settlement. The problem is, I don't know if we're necessarily getting away with walk-ons, but they're going to, if they're on the roster, you got to pay them. That's the problem. You're getting rid of the system of someone just joins the team. Like, so yes, I think it's one of those things where it's like on paper, I think the answer is no, but in functionality, yes, we're getting rid of walk-ons.
Yeah, because my niece is a junior in high school, and she plays lacrosse, so obviously not a sport that brings in the money. And I was talking to my sister about it, and she's like, yeah, you know, these schools are kind of out. And I'm like, wait, she can't just, like, be a preferred walk-on at, you know, wherever? She's like, no, that's going away. And I just, yeah, that seems kind of crazy to me. I know that's a completely different topic.
No, but I mean,
I was like, wait, I don't understand how this makes any sense. Like, if I want to go, like, I'm not saying this opportunity happened to me, but for example, if I wanted to go walk on at a D1 as opposed to playing D3, which, yep, is what I did, I can't do that anymore?
So, I think legally, the answer is you could have. I don't think anyone would offer you the opportunity. Because if you're on the roster, I think you have to get a percentage of the revenue.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's it's just like nobody's going to do it, I think is kind of the larger picture. All right. Aaron Rodgers. All right. So Schefter today on his podcast, because there was this report that came out late last week where the Rams don't know what to do with Matthew Stafford. Their question is, can we get Matthew Stafford at a number that both parties are cool with? If they can do so, they want Stafford back. The question is, can they reach that number?
Well, the Giants are going to trade him the 3rd pick for Stafford, right?
Well, so that developed. And it's not that I don't think Matthew, like, I think Matthew Stafford would, like, my thing is, that's the problem that the Giants are in. Like, whenever I get asked questions about the draft or whatnot, it's like, yo, the roster's so bad that, like, adding Matthew Stafford adds a couple of wins, but it doesn't change the franchise. And then you're also just, you have a lame duck GM and a lame duck coach, and so they're obviously going to sacrifice the long term of the franchise to try and keep their jobs. What I found was interesting, though, is Schefter said if they can't actually come to a number, Rodgers to the Rams makes a lot of sense. And so I do think we're kind of in this weird, we have franchise tag day to day. So it's like, what's going to happen to Sam Darnold? What are the Bengals going to do about T? I guess they're going to try to franchise T and then try to come up with a deal. But what I do think is interesting is if Stafford is on the market, like, who actually, because if you're Stafford and you go to the market, you're trying to just go to a team that can win, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, who can make that?
That's what he wanted to do. That's why he left Detroit.
So it's like, okay, well, the Raiders, no. The Jets, no. The Giants, no. It's like, is that maybe the Sam Darnold answer? Is, okay, we're not ready to turn it over to JJ because JJ had another injury setback. We didn't love what we saw at the end from Darnold. Like, do you try to make your way up to Minnesota because Kevin O'Connell has been around the Rams? Like, Are you trying to do that to be a bridge? Like, I do think it's interesting. We're going to have some pretty high profile, like old quarterbacks that are kind of like on the one last ride. Like, who are the teams that are actually going to be willing to do this? Because that fascinates me, because if I'm the Rams, am I really going, all right, let's hitch our wagon?
Is Rodgers better than Stafford?
I think the answer is no, but what if you get Rodgers cheap? Then it becomes a different question. It's not, is Rodgers better than Stafford, right, but is Rodgers at the price that we can get Rodgers better than Stafford at the price we can get Stafford?
Who would you prefer? Let's say cost is the same. Let's say it's, I don't know, whatever, $5 million. Would you rather have Rodgers or Cousins?
Rodgers. I do need to see them. Like, I know Kirk getting hurt at the end of the year, like, but I wonder if Kirk was never a physical specimen to begin with. I just wonder if now
all things being equal, it's a no-brainer.
Right.
However,
that's not the question.
However, Kirk Cousins is not Aaron Rodgers, and what I mean by
yes,
that, he's not Aaron Rodgers.
That could also work for him.
But he's got familiarity with Sean McVay. He's got familiarity with Kyle Shanahan. And at this point in his career, I don't know. I think, did we bring this up on Friday? Where is there like a Kyrie Irving, Aaron Rodgers situation going on? Not that, you know, they're...
Right,
like,
I know what you're saying.
Are they both like revered by players? Like, if you're a player on the Rams, I think you're much more excited if you hear Aaron Rodgers is coming in than Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
And if you go back and you watch Hard Knocks, it was just, it's nauseating to go back and watch the Jets Hard Knocks. It's embarrassing for that franchise. Oh, man, we got the guy. Like, Saleh and all these dudes just talk about the defensive coordinator for the Jets, whose name I forget.
Ulbrich.
Was like, oh, there's only one quarterback that could do that in this league, and he's on our side now. It's like, okay.
Does Patrick Mahomes not exist?
Yeah.
Does Josh Allen not exist?
You won you 5 games. Yeah. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. But yeah, I'm very intrigued by Rodgers, because, like, to be honest, the team I think that makes the most sense is the Raiders. But does Rodgers want to go to a losing cause?
That's what I'm saying.
The Raiders aren't going to win. And we started this about Stafford, right? All of these quarterbacks, Stafford, Cousins, Rodgers, none of them want to go to a crappy situation.
Right.
But where's the good situation that is at? Like, Kirk's not going back to Minnesota, obviously, right? They let him go.
No, and like, I mean, like, the Jets is not, the Titans is not. I mean, the Giants is not.
Like, one of these bad franchises right now is going to have to convince one of these older dudes, be like, hey, we're not that far away, right? Like, Washington won 4 games a year ago and they were in the NFC Championship. We can be that team with you if you take a team-friendly deal.
I guess I could kind of talk myself into Stafford with the Steelers.
That was the one that made sense. I don't see Rodgers and Tomlin working. I just, that seems like oil and water.
Yeah,
but I could see Stafford.
All right, let's take a quick break. Another good slate of college hoops tonight. Let's talk about it when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tim, college basketball season rolling right along. We got another big Tuesday slate. That's the other thing about college basketball now. I feel like every game is either Tuesday, Wednesday, or Saturday.
Yeah, I could go for a little bit more on Mondays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Thursdays have been kind of weak.
Thursdays have just been true degenerate specials. Like, you're getting into the Big West or the West Coast Conference.
Maybe it's because the SEC is so loaded this year, and they only, I think, play on Tuesdays and Wednesdays that we're not kind of getting it. Now, we've gotten a couple good Friday nights. I feel like Fox has helped us out. You know, we had St. John's UConn a couple weeks ago. We'll get a Big Ten game. I know UCLA Indiana maybe.
Did you see that in?
It was gonna be a little... Yes, with the layup that didn't count.
Correct.
Quotes.
No, it should not have counted.
Well, I talked about it on my show on Saturday morning because everybody was flipping out that it should have been, that it should have counted. And I was like, well, here's the problem. The red light is on.
Yeah.
The ball's still in his hand. The graphic is wrong. The graphic is not accurate. Like, for those who missed it, it was 72-68, final score, UCLA beats Indiana. Point spread was 2.5. I had money
or
line,
maybe,
so I didn't
maybe
care.
Some people had two. Like,
whatever.
Some people had, because I think it went, I think so a little, there was a little Indiana money late.
So, the layup should have made it 72-70, but I saw the gamblers are out there. Conspiracy theory. This is ridiculous. I'm like, the red light is what you look at, not the Fox graphic. The Fox graphic was off. That said 1/10 of a second, but the red light was on. So yeah, it was accurate. It should not have counted. Yes.
Yes. That was another one. All right. What do we got on the card tonight?
All right. So coming up at 5:30 Central Time, we've got UConn and Villanova, and this is a delicious spot to look at UConn. Now, the tricky part is I don't love laying big numbers, as you know. So you're out to 8.5 now. I think UConn could open up a can on Villanova here at home. You've got revenge because Villanova beat UConn back in January. You've got UConn coming off of a gross loss as a, I believe, 14-point favorite on the road against Seton Hall.
Might be one of the worst teams in all of like power basketball.
I mean, KenPom had them at 204. That's horrendous. I got a little creative. I had some fun on Sunday. I do the show on Sunday mornings now on VSiN as well. And I was looking through the card, and I'm like, oh, I kind of like St. John's in their spot. So I made a Patino parlay.
Mm.
New
Mexico and St. John's?
Yeah, so New Mexico made us sweat that one out, but we got there. And I actually had a dad, as I dropped off my son at school, thank me, which I was like, all right, cool. Thanks for listening.
In the spirit of the Patinos.
This is kind of weird that I'm dropping off a child in an elementary school and getting thanked for giving out a good parlay.
Only in Vegas.
Facts. So I put UConn with Georgetown tomorrow. Georgetown is playing Providence. For those unaware, Ed Cooley coached at Providence. I believe is yet to beat Providence since heading down to the land of the Hoyas. So I think this is the spot. Providence also coming off of a nice win over the weekend where they beat Villanova. So that was the at FanDuel Moneyline Parlay. I did UConn to Georgetown tomorrow at -103. A couple more conventional ways. I don't really buy either one of these teams, but when was the last time Purdue had a two-game losing streak? It's been a while, I feel like.
Sophomore year?
Or it was earlier this year, as I look at it. They lost to Texas A&M and Auburn back-to-back. But back-to-back losses in the Big Ten is pretty rare for them. And they're going on the road to the land of Izzo. I think this Michigan State team's kind of fraudulent.
They can't shoot.
And Purdue, back-to-back losses, you've got two. I mean, Braden Smith is a stud, man. I love that guy. Trey Kaufman-Wren, you know, another big, shocking. Purdue has another big. He's just not 7'4". And then, you know, if we can get a good performance from Fletcher Lawyer. So I think this is a hell of a battle in East Lansing. So I wanted 4. 3.5 is what's out there now, and I didn't get the 4. So I took 3.5 with Purdue. And then lastly, I feel like I've been burned by this Illinois team.
Mm-hmm. No matter which side you go.
I can't figure this damn team out. They're dealing with another injury. Morez Johnson, another one of their bigs. I think he broke his wrist. I think he's done for the year, out for the foreseeable future. They got smashed by Michigan State at home this weekend. And Wisconsin's coming off of, man, did you see Wisconsin's performance against Purdue?
I did.
Holy smokes. They dropped 58 in the second half.
Yep.
I think there might be a...
You're going to need to see that again?
I think there might be a little regression from shooting 20 of 22 from inside the arc. Like, that's insane. So I'll probably be burned on it again, but I'll take the 4 with the Illini. So two road teams, which is not usually the way I roll, but I'll take Purdue +3.5, Illinois +4 on the card tonight.
All right, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Tim, for days, don't tell these story, tell your story. I think we got to go with your basketball coach, Micah Shrewsbury, telling everybody, don't come back when we're winning. Isn't that what Gottlieb did, too? I'm keeping the receipts.
And then when LeBron kept the receipts and tweeted at Gottlieb, he said he was punching down.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray of VSiN. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.